9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. It's 54 degrees outside. Nathan Brewer dew point is 37. Winds are out of the northeast at 8 miles an hour, gusting up to 11. I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast later on in the show. And speaking of the show, I have a whole slew of people in the studio with me today from the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association. I got Joshua, Bert, Brad, and Andy. So you guys stand by, because in the second segment, we got a lot to talk about cattle. Matter of fact, we're probably going to take up the whole show. So grab you a cold beer and a peanut butter and jelly grilled sandwich with butter on it, because we got a show on for you today. So anyway, Oklahoma grain prices, cash grain prices as of 11 o'clock. Oh, hard red winter wheat's getting on up there. 769 a bushel. Corn's creeping up to 573. Milo is creeping up, 576, and soybeans are staying in the area they was at last week at 1178 a bushel. Wheat futures surged in overnight trading as global prices for grain increase. Exports from Russia, the world's largest shipper of the grain, have become more expensive recently amid concerns about domestic supply. The country's government has imposed export taxes on wheat in recent months. Russian wheat was selling for $317 a metric ton, up from $312 a ton a week earlier. Global inventories are forecast to fall to 277.2 metric million tons in the 2021-22 marketing year, according to the USDA. If realized, that was down from 288.4 million metric tons. U.S. stockpiles at the end of the marketing year are pegged at 15.8 million metric tons, down from 23 million tons the previous year. Soybeans, meanwhile, fell overnight as the harvest rolls on. About 73% of the U.S. crop was collected at the start of the last week, up from 60% a week earlier, and prior five-year average of 70% USDA data shows. Up from 52% the previous week, 66% of the corn crop was in the bin. The average for this time of the year is 53%. And that's going to be my Jimmy tip of the week. When putting crops in your grain bins, don't forget to turn the auger off when it's full. Less grain is spilled on the ground. And with these today's prices, yeah, you're losing money. All you're doing is feeding the quail. But go ahead. Capping losses, however, is a concern about slowing the pace of harvest. The USDA will release its weekly crop progress report today. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 9.75 cents to 782.5 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 8.5 cents to 781.5 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 5.5 to 1244 a bushel. Soy meal lost 230 down to $330.30 a short ton, while soy oil rose 0.04 to 61.31 a pound. Corn futures for delivery were up 1.25 cents at 569.5. Money managers raised their net long positions or bets on higher prices in corn and beans in the week that ended last week, October 26, according to the Commodities Future Trading Commission. Investors held a net 235,207 corn future contracts last week, and that's up from 211,000 the week before. That's the largest bullish position for grain since October 5th. Speculators also raised their net longs in soybeans to 24,760 futures contract, up from 15,274 a week earlier. Investors likely raised their bullish bet on corns and beans amid signs of demand for U.S. supplies in the past couple of weeks. In wheat, future fund managers raised their net long position in hard red winter wheat futures to 51,843 contracts, up from 46,000 the week before. Well, I also got time to do this real quick, and let's do this. And here is the weekly livestock auction summaries from last week, from October 29th. Texas, now my friends over here east of us and or west of us in the Texas Panhandle, compared to last week, feeder cattle and calves sold steady to $5 higher. Some feeder cattle up to $7 higher. Demand mostly moderate to good with active demand. Cooler temperatures moved in, but with it came very high winds. If you guys don't hadn't forgot what happened last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Man, oh man, it was blowing. But when it came to very high winds, this did deter movement of livestock in some areas. Slaughter cattle prices advanced after many weeks at steady, and this encouraged more cash trade on the wheat. Now, this is in Texas. Total receipts from the sale barns in Texas last week was 6,578 head. That was up 178 head from the previous week. Feeder cattle were 87.5% of that total, with 5,755 head, and slaughter cattle was 703. Replacement cattle was 120 head, and that was in Texas. And I'm just going to pick a couple random numbers here of steers. They had 17 head. Average weight was 381, brought $1.8321 per 100 weight. And let's go on down here into the 400-pound range. 14 head, average 421. They were unwinged. They brought $1.71, 14. And then on down here in the 500 range, 51 head, averaging 557, brought $1.63. And let's go to the 600-pound range. 621 average, 128 head, brought $1.44.07, and they were unwinged. Here's Oklahoma's report. Compared to last week, feeder steers under 800 pounds sold steady to $3 higher. Over 800 pounds were $4 to $8 higher. Feeder heifers mainly steady to $3 higher. Advanced over 800 pounds. Steer and heifer calves sold mostly to $2 to $5 higher. Demand good for feeder cattle as number of feeders continue to dwindle. Heavier weight seeing much of the demand as higher cost of gains is making it cheaper to buy the weight than put it on. Demand for was very good for calves this week. Recent rain has helped with wheat pastures, and farmers will be looking to turn out calves on wheat very soon. Well, guess what, report? They're already out there on the wheat. I seen some between here and Shamrock the other day. Temperatures have turned more fall-like, but we'll be flirting with some winter-type weather sometime this week. And that is in my forecast, so get ready. Slaughter cows sold $1 to $2 lower. Slaughter bulls were $1 lower. Packer demand was moderate. Number of cows in auction markets continued to run large. Culling continues with several old thin cows on offer. All right, total receipts. Sale barns from Oklahoma, 29,528. That's down from 31,439 last week. Of that 29,528, 87% of that was feeder cattle. Slaughter cows, about 10% of it, with 2,894 head. Replacement cows were 3.1%. They 921 replacement cows were sold here last week in Oklahoma. Well, let's pick a few here real quick. 56 head, average 326 on the weight on steers, brought $1.91.14. I need to get me some of that, Bert. $1.91 cattle. But then we got some 308 head, average 422, brought $1.86.14. That's pretty nice. Let's go to 500-pound range. 463 head, weighing 520 on the average, brought $1.64.35. And down here, that's it. That's all they got me down here. Here's 151 head, close to 600 weights. Average weight was 579, brought $1.54.82. And that was unwinged. That's still a decent price. Well, that's it. Well, you guys just don't go nowhere because we got a good show. We're going to have a good conversation with these cattlemen. All of them are cattlemen in here today and don't want to miss it. And we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. Red Angus cattle are just more docile as a breed, just bred into them. It's been that way for years since the inception of the breed. With two kids, and not just the kids, the older generation, they don't want to mess with bulls that are not gentle. Red Angus are more gentle to handle. We raise registered Red Angus, Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
All right. I hope you guys all had a great weekend. I had a good weekend. We finished up peanut thrashing Friday. I went to Childress and Saturday, and then yesterday morning I got up 4 o'clock to go bale peanut hay on a pivot there by the house, and I baled three and moved around to the Carter side of the river because that wind just, well, it got so dry Friday while they was thrashing, it just disintegrated the leaves, and then that wind was high enough it just moved it, and I didn't figure Chad wanted to sell bales of stems because that's what it was. And I moved over and finished my baling up, and I was that 1% that's not sowed their wheat yet. I'm that guy. I got after it. So I'm making headway. Anyway, 54 degrees. The wind is still out of the northeast, 8 miles an hour, and a gust up to 11. I'll have that Long Ranger for you here in just a little bit. But meanwhile, in the studio, I got Joshua, Bert, Brad, and Andy Hutcherson. See, I just didn't say your last name. I'm going to let you say it so I don't mess it up.
Okay, it's Joshua Canope.
Canope. See, I was going to say Canop. So anyway, I've been giving them a hard time since they got in here. And these guys are in here to talk. We got all kinds of things we're going to talk about. But first of all, you guys' fourth annual OISA Convention and Trade Show is coming up.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be coming up on Saturday, November 13th. We're going to have it at the Frisco Center in Clinton, Oklahoma, and registration is $75, and that's going to include lunch and dinner, and you do not have to be a member to attend. We've got quite a few trade show booths lined up as well.
Right.
So it's going to be good.
As far as like what?
We've got Burlington Welding coming. We've got McKenzie Ford. I believe they're going to be setting up with 2D Trailer. Trying to think of who else we... we have lined up.
Well, you got some people lined up.
But yeah, we're going to have a good trade show.
Right. And that center over there is a nice place to have a...
Yes, it is. We've got some good speakers coming as well. Margaret Byfield, she's with the American Stewards of Liberty. She's going to be talking about the Biden's 30 by 30, which has been renamed. It's America the Beautiful. And what it is a executive order that he signed where they're going to take 30% of the land out of production agriculture by the year 2030.
Right. And then Steve Stratford, he's with the Cattle Chat.
Yeah, so Steve Stratford is with Pratt Livestock.
Yep.
And he's been very vocal on Facebook over the last year, 2 years, I guess now. We're going on now. So we're bringing him in. He's going to be our keynote speaker.
Okay.
So we're going to have him speak during dinner.
I love listening to him.
Yes.
He
gets fired up.
He's not bashful at all.
No, he's not. He's kind of like Jerry Nine on steroids.
Yes.
Jerry Nine tells it what he thinks. Whether you like Jerry Nine or not, he tells you what he thinks, and you got to give him an A for that.
Yes. Yes. Steve is not bashful about it in the least.
No.
So we're looking forward to having him come in. We're going to have some other speakers as well. We've got Bill Bullard with RCAF USA who's going to be coming in and talking about everything that's going on the national level within the beef industry right now. And we also have Roger Givens with Farmers Business Network. He's going to come in and talk about livestock risk protection. And we're also going to have an agent from the Oklahoma Department of Ag come in and talk about their cattle theft.
Got that.
Program.
Who's coming in, Paul?
I'll have to look.
You have to look.
I've got to remember.
Well, you look it up, and we'll talk about it on the next segment, because Paul Cornett is one of the agents from the Agriculture Department. I've had him on the show here.
Oh, okay.
He used to be a game warden, and I had him on the same day as Lacey Swope.
Yeah.
And he was a game warden at Fort Cobb when Lacey Swope went on her first deer hunt. So them two hit it off really big. So he's a big guy, too. That cowboy hat on him, you take it off, I think he's still 6'8". So, but they, well, you guys... You've had a lot going on. Let's go with the deal with the meat packers. You guys want to go to the meat packers? You want to go on?
Yeah, we can talk about the meat packers.
Because one thing I caught with the deal with the RCAF deal that judge ruled here a while back, but I also noticed everybody said RCAF got their point put across, and that's what you guys was wanting.
Right. The Scott, it's a group of attorneys here in the United States and out of England. We filed a lawsuit, an antitrust lawsuit, 2 years ago against the Packers.
Right.
We've had some plaintiffs from Kansas and around the state that have feedlots that joined into this lawsuit. It's an antitrust lawsuit, and the Packers have filed for dismissal, which you naturally knew they would.
Right.
But the judge allowed us discovery, and that was a really, really good thing.
Yes.
Because now, in discovery, they have to turn their books over to us. So we can tell you that we know they've been, scammed. Overpriced the beef in the grocery store. The consumer's paying too much for their beef. Ranchers, we normally make about 60% of the beef dollar, around 50 to 60% of the beef dollar. Right now, we're at times we've been as low as 38 to 40 cents of the beef dollar. That's what the farmers, or the ranchers, are making on their beef.
Right. Both of them, ranchers and farmers.
Yeah, ranchers and farmers both run cattle. We need all the cattle we can get here in the United States. We have never, ever in the history of the cattle industry met domestic demand. And when you take that into consideration, that we've never met domestic demand, that leads us into imports.
Right.
And the imports... in the last, especially building up to 2015 when our cattle market broke, they imported so much beef into the United States it broke our market.
Yeah, something happened in 2015 because, if I remember right, 2014-15, the smaller calf market was just off the rockers.
Oh, yeah.
And then during that drought, and we were talking about the drought earlier, 2000, I really think it started in 2009-10, it started. But, you know, 2011 and 12, it hit hard. And 13, and it really didn't start turning around till 15, but... Man, it just, you know, everybody called cows, and that market went up crazy just for a little while.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, here comes those imports.
Boom, crashed.
Yeah.
Well, and another thing that we had going on at that time is we had MCOOL, Mandatory Country of Origin Labeling, on our beef, and it was repealed in 2015, and that's when we also saw part of that market crash. But the packers are able to import beef from Argentina, Brazil, Mexico, Canada.
23 different countries.
Yeah, 23 different countries, and they're able to deceive the consumer by putting a label that makes it to where they think it's a product of the U.S. Yes, on that beef.
But it's not.
Right.
And that's still going on right now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's still going on right now. And isn't there something in the works about changing that? Or
There is. We're trying to get country of origin labeling back on our books. There's two things that we as producers would like to see done, and that would be there's the country of origin labeling, and then there's a bill that Grassley and Tester, from I don't know exactly where they're from, but
Grassley's from Iowa, I think.
Right.
I believe so.
Yep.
It's the 50-14. What that means is that they have to buy 50% of their cattle off the cash market. The cash market is the basis to of the fat cattle is the basis of all the markets for the young calves. You know, all weight, all classes and weights of cattle is the cash market. In parts of the United States right now, only 3% of the cattle represent the cash market. And that 3% of the cattle that represent that cash market are the less desirable cattle here in the United States. Well, I'd say all cattle in the United States are pretty desirable, but there's qualities in your cattle, and that all the good cattle are going programs like CAB or All Natural, or, you know, there's just lots and lots of programs out there that they can put their cattle on that the basis of the price of that cattle is still the cash market. When you have the lesser cattle setting the basis for the cash market, it's just, that's the way they get to us,
right?
Yeah.
Well, what do you tell the rancher or farmer that follows his cattle all the way through the feedlot? Do you blame them for doing that, or not blame them? Or are there any faults on doing that?
Oh no, that's what our program. Most of the producers here in the state of Oklahoma do not feed their own cattle. They take them to the sale and sell them, and then there's other buyers out there that buy the cattle, go ahead and feed them. I think Bert here, he feeds his cattle. We feed our own cattle, so we know what we're gonna. It's just it's an old habit to break. Yeah, it's been our program for 80 years.
Yeah.
To feed our cattle.
Right. Yeah, and if I had more land or a facility, I'd do mine, but I don't. And like I told you guys, I sold 2/3 of my cattle crop last year because of the drought down in the breaks. And that would have probably come back to haunt me if I'd had my own calves out there. I probably had plenty of water, but nothing for them to eat. So, but it's plenty of salt water. My water doesn't freeze down in the breaks.
So, salty.
Yeah, it's
be like some of my country out in Cheyenne Valley. It's so jippy, bugs can walk on the top of it in the middle of the summer. You don't have to be froze.
Well, you and Ashley, where's you guys' operation at?
Canton, Oklahoma.
Canton, okay. Yep. And Bert, yours is hometown. You're right here, right now. Everybody knows Bert.
Right in the back door.
Because I got him face to face in here, and I can honestly tell him, since started this show 4 months ago, the most demand that I've had on the text line. Get Bert Hudson in there. He's here, guys.
I'm going to let these people do the talking because they know what it's all about.
So
don't let him fool you.
Where are you based at?
I'm out of eastern Ouachita County, kind of the Cloud Chief Colony corn area.
That's right. I knew that. I've seen Cloud Chief on there. But they, well, we're going to take a break. I got to pay for you guys to be in here. Somebody's got to pay for you guys to be in here. But no, I'm just kidding. When we come back, we're going to talk more with these guys from the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association. And we haven't even touched what we want to talk about. We're kind of jumping around a little bit, but we're getting the point across. But when we get back, we're going to talk more about the meat packer, because that's the most talked thing going on in the cattle industry. And we'll talk about some Oklahoma Independent producers. So it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 22nd. 1,953 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 348 brought 175. 13 at 540 brought 142. 8 at 584 brought 143. 10 at 646 brought 142.50. 25 at 706 brought 141. 6 at 875 brought 145. 8 head of heifers at 434 brought 137. 5 at 503 brought 145. 10 at 539 brought 136. 3 at 577 brought 133. 8 at 761 brought 137. 25 at 896 brought 115. Butcher cows were 2 to 77. Bred cows 600 to 1400. Butcher bulls 55 to 9250. Pairs brought 850 to 1725. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth-generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. Temperature has risen 1 degree. We're at 55. The wind's still out of the northeast at 8 miles an hour and gusting up to 12. And in our last segment coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes, I'll have your Long Ranger. You don't want to miss that because it looks wet and cold. So, well, back to you guys, Joshua, Bert, Brad, and Andy from the Oklahoma Independent Stock Growers Association. What's the goal of your association?
Well, I think the main goal of our association, the main reason why we started the organization is there was a push for a global roundtable for sustainable beef brought into our state by our competitive or other organization, which we're a lifetime member of Oklahoma Cattlemen's. They're our friends. We're in the business together, but when they brought in the global roundtable for sustainable beef, it's the same as they've changed the name to the U.S. roundtable for sustainable beef, but they're tied. It's like laying two pennies on the table. You couldn't tell one of them apart.
Heads it's, up or tails down.
Well, but anyway, when they brought the U.S. roundtable for sustainable beef into our state, is when we had to break ties with our good friends.
But you're still good friends, aren't you?
Yeah, we don't agree on a lot of things, but that's one thing we really don't agree in. We don't want any UN regulations, an organization like the U.S. Roundtable tied to the UN Roundtable the Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, bringing in policy to change our lifestyle and the way we market, the way we do things on our ranch. But anyway, That's one reason why we did. But we're trying to give the voice back to the Oklahoma independent stock growers or the cattlemen.
Right.
They each one of us run our operations in a different manner. We don't never necessarily all fit in the same textbook, or we don't. You want?
I might speak to that a little bit. There's just a whole plethora of regulations that have come in through the Global Roundtable for Sustainable Beef.
Right.
It's made up of the Packers and the World Wildlife Fund, and
they're not going to look out for us.
No,
they're not looking out for us.
I'll answer that one for you.
Ultimately, we do some of the programs that they have that's embedded within this Global Roundtable and the U.S. Roundtable, but it's stuff that we've always done.
Right.
In our sector of the industry. But this is something completely different. They're going to make everybody comply, and they're going to make you bring in UN they brought in UN regulations through this, and it's through something called the Sustainable Ag Initiative for Beef Program. That's one thing that we saw. We recognized that there's a number of regulations that you're going to have to follow, and one of them is human rights, and you're going to do it the way the UN says. And that's when we started kicking back and saying, no, and they've used the term sustainability as a tool because it's an open door for what do we have to produce? We have to have air, land, water, and our animals. That's to produce food. You have to have those four components. They've been able to bring the sustainability component, which is open-ended, and bring in all sorts of regulations within air quality, water quality, our land.
Yeah, they've been after our water for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Endangered species.
The endangered species upon our land, conservation easements in perpetuity. There's just all these just little open doors that they can do that with. Well, we knew that. We had been in the system long enough that we'd watched this happen, and it just hadn't happened here yet. But we've tried to raise awareness and...
Yeah, one of our other goals is to restore a robust market in the state, especially in the fat cattle market, the Tester Grassley bill that would make them buy 50% of their cattle on the cash market. That cash market would roll down into the CAF market, rolls down into, it sets the tone for everything.
It's there also, everything rolls down into the local businesses, like your jewelry shop downtown. If the cattle market and the cattlemen are doing good, and same with the farmers, your local businesses do well.
Yeah, because somebody's rancher's wife seen all them cattle sold. She's wanting that diamond ring.
That's right.
big shiny one.
It's the lifeblood of rural communities.
Yeah, it's lifeblood of rural America.
It always has been.
It and oil, and they've targeted both.
Right.
And used
You know, on the family farm a long time ago, we'd all had hogs, chickens, and everything. Well, you know, they've kind of taken the chicken market away first, and then by vertically integrating it, and then they come in and vertically integrated the hogs. That took two avenues of profitability out of some of the smaller ranching and farming. Now they're trying to do that to the beef. If they get that done in the beef, we won't have schools in our small little towns here. We won't have our stores. It'll break America's back.
And we are the backbone of. Well, it's funny you said that about chickens, because I got this from my wife, and she sent me this deal, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce James' last name because it's as long as all of ours put together, so I'll just stay away from that name. But it says the most nutritious foods on the planet are meat and eggs.
Yes.
The most vilified foods on the planet are meat and eggs. For 50 years, they've told us to stop eating the most nutritious foods. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they want you weak and then sick so they can control you. And I'm reading something there that probably doesn't. So don't be fooled. Eat meat and eat eggs. That's the way I am, because I love my meat and eggs.
Me too.
Yes.
And, you know, you got this stuff going on, like at California, it has nothing to do with cattle, but it has something to do with a meat industry where, you know, if it's not raised in California with a master bedroom for that sow to have her pigs, it's not going to get produced in California. That's what it's down to. And it, Bert, you're going to say something. Push that mic right over to you.
We're doing a good job.
Seen change in the last 50 years in the farming and cattle industry?
Well, we ain't got that much time.
But just something that sticks out in your mind.
Yeah. Well, you can't do nothing on your own anymore.
Right.
You know, our government's involved in everything. You got to sign up for everything. And people get to depend on that happening, you know, and they were supplementing us when we need to be turned loose to make our own. They don't need to supplement us. They just give us a fair price and we can make it on our own.
You hit the nail right on the spot.
Yeah, but, amen. You know, and we don't have enough of our people out here really paying attention to the bottom line of what is going on. And all we need them to do is like join the Independent Cattlemen Association and be a vote, because our calf and these people have come a long ways.
They have.
Of getting something done where we can handle them, because you can't get many rules on these people. They don't abide by any laws. You need to bust them things up, and you can't do it unless you get all these senators and congressmen and everybody up here on our playing field to look at this. And it's beginning to come together a little. What we got to have, the guys quit sitting down there griping and get out here and be a member of some of this stuff and help with the vote. Anytime they're a member, they're a vote on our side. That don't matter whether it's RCAF or the Independent Cattlemen's Association.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, just as long as your voice is heard. But there is a lot of that going on out there. Yeah. A lot of, you know, you go, I get a lot of my fact news from the coffee shops.
Yeah.
and you, of a morning, but you hear a lot, lots of people griping. And out of the 10 people you might see at that table, one of them's probably involved in something, and the other 9 aren't.
Yeah.
And it's down to, it's a different world we are right now.
Definitely.
And it's people like you guys and other cattle association, farm association, everybody's got their own mission. But you guys' mission here, you got a whole page of missions.
Yep.
It ain't just one.
State for us and small producers in the state to stay in business.
Yep, and it did. Well, I got to take one more break, and then when we come back, I got to answer this one question, though. I got on the text line. I can actually answer this one. It says, do you really grill your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I'm telling you, those guys do. I haven't tried it yet. I got my peanut butter bought, and I gave my last jar of wild plum jelly away, so I gotta go buy some strawberry or grape jelly, and I'm gonna try it on my pellet grill at home. And when I do, you guys out there be the first to know what it tastes like. But we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KCO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First of all, last Tuesday, October 26th, we sold 942 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, October 28th, we sold 2,446 kids and feeders for a total of 3,388 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 71 to 80. Thin cows bring 40 up to 66. Bulls bring 70 up to 95 and a half. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,000 to 1,475, with a 5 to 8 year old bred cow, 785 to 1,300. 2 to 8 year old pairs, 900 to 1,525. Very aggressive feeder market, $2 higher, even the A weights and above, up to $10 higher. Honor steer cattle, 3 to 350 steer, 182 to 206. 4 to 450, 178 to 180. 5 to 550, 165 to 177. 6 to 650, 149 to 160. 7 to 750, 158 and a half to 160. 8850, 152 to 164, and our 9 to 950 steer, 150 to 161.75. We sell 24 black steers, weighing 943, bring 161.75. 33 mixed color steers, 802, 164. 12 planer steers off the same deal, weighing 841, bring 155. Some cattle out of a growing lot, 976, bring 147.5 at the same brothers, 915 at 153. pays to sell where we have 14 feeder buyers. Some sale barns have about three. 100 heifers, 3 to 350. Weight heifers, 151 to 173. 4 to 450, 136 to 149. 5 to 550 heifers, 137 to 154. 6 to 650, 138 and a half to 152 and a half. 7 to 750, 150 to 152 and a half. 8 to 850, 137 to 149 and a half. And 9 to 950 heifers, 133 to 141. Extremely good feeder market. For this Tuesday, November 2nd, we do have 40 bred cows and pairs. We got 45 other bred cows. Again, we had 24 black steers weighing 943, 160, 175. 33 802 bring 164. Cattle of a growing lot weighing 976 bring 147 and a half. Give us a call. Thanks to Gary Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We're back. Man, this is a fun group. We're talking peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and cattle, but, you know, their business here is serious, and we're going to get back to them here in just a minute. But right now I got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 57, winds out of the north, northeast, in out of the east, 7 to 9. That's what's happening. Tonight, there's a slight chance of showers between 1 and 4 a.m., then areas of drizzle with slight chance of showers after 4 a.m. Tomorrow, areas of drizzle at before 1 o'clock, then a chance of showers between 1 and 4. Hopefully, Lacey, there's no thunderstorms tomorrow, and Lacey will be on tomorrow because she's been getting shifted to the night shift on the days of my show. So we can call the day Today in Ag Show Stormy Tuesday. That's what we're going. We're always stormy. I miss her. She hadn't been on 2 weeks. She was sick. But tomorrow night, 70% chance of precipitation tomorrow night. Areas of drizzle with a chance of showers before 9 a.m. It's just, and it's going to be chilly. Low tonight, 39. High tomorrow, 47. Low tomorrow night, 38. High, 45 on Wednesday. Low, 35 on Wednesday night. I live on the river, so it's going to be around 31 degrees. It was ice in my place Friday. Saturday morning, sorry. Thursday, high 54. Low of 34 that night, and then Friday it starts warming back up a little bit to a whopping 59 degrees. Well, here we go. Tell me more about your association.
So, yeah, our biggest goal is to improve profitability for Oklahoma cattle producers, because that's the bottom line. If we're not all profitable, we're going to go under. And that includes all cattle producers. If you have a job and 10 head of cattle, you are a cattle producer.
Yeah.
And we're out here to support you. And if it is your hobby, you want a good price for that hobby. Otherwise, you can't afford it. So we represent everybody. And that is our main goal. And everything that we're going to have at the convention, all the speakers, they all speak to that goal. Whether that be from the 5014 mandatory country of origin labeling, breaking up the packers, to what's going on with your private property rights under the America the Beautiful from Biden.
Yeah, because, you know, it really seems like this thing kicked in real high gear when AOC, those words come out of her mouth. I mean, it's been going on, but it's brought it to a different level about greenhouse gases in cattle. And I just, you know, at first I just laughed. Why would you say anything stupid like that? But there's so many people taking that serious.
Well, and it's been going on for such a long time, too, on the UN level. And the global environmentalists, they've been putting this together for such a long time. It's just everybody started to notice it once we have people like AOC that have a voice and to thousands of people.
Yeah, we went from being a bartender to a spokesperson for the world on greenhouse gases. I should have went to that college. I missed it. You want to say something, grab that pink mic and say it. You're over here jumping. With
well, I just think that it's Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. That's right. What it is. And they started it in 1993, Rio de Janeiro. That's when they came out with their plan. Well, they've kept a thumb on it. We've kept a thumb on it. Obama, they unleashed a lot of the programs within your land, within your air quality, within your water quality, and with your animals, what we're seeing. But that affects all of those areas affect what we do. So they moved that. Then they just moved that on. Trump came in, did away with a lot of the things that they had in place or were working on getting in place. And now they're back. They've renamed it.
Everything away what happened. You know, whether good or bad, they did away. Yeah. Their main goal, it seems like, it would just take everything that Trump did, whether it was good or bad. I said I'd never get political on the show, but I'm telling you the truth.
You have to be.
I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. They took it, whether you hate him or love him, they're doing away with everything he did, good or bad.
This isn't political. It's about our freedom.
Yes, it is.
It's about saving our freedom, our children, our grandchildren's freedoms.
Well, I got a question for you that come on the text line, if you don't mind answering it. Here we go. Please explain how a government-mandated price discovery mechanism will help all who raise cattle.
So, yeah, we're talking about 5014 on that. So the Cattle Market Protection Bill, it's Senate Bill 949 from Grassley and Tester. And what it does is it's going to require the packers. This is not a mandate on us as cattle producers. This is going to be a mandate on the packers. And it's only the large packers. They have to have a certain number of locations. They have to slaughter a certain number of cattle per week. And all it requires them to do is source 50% of those cattle needs, weekly cattle needs, on a cash negotiated market. And then they have to slaughter those cattle within 14 days of purchase. And what that does is it's going to help alleviate some of the captive supply. And then also that cash negotiated market is our price discovery for alternative marketing programs and other marketing. And that's also your fat cattle is the price discovery so that we know what our cattle are worth to the packer. And by setting that price in a cash negotiated,
it's not really setting the price. The market's going to set the price. We just want them to buy half the cattle from us here in the United States.
Yeah, and we all know that going down to the sale barn is our best way to figure out what our cattle are worth. And that's all we're trying to do is we're trying to get it to where we get a good discovery and a good price discovery.
Yeah, right now, I think 3-7% of the cattle that they buy is off the cash market, and that's what based off all the cattle that sell.
Well, yeah, and that's in the Southern Plains, which is the lowest of the cash negotiated sales. They buy a lot more up north where the cattle quality is very, very good, and they have sale barns that sell fat cattle.
Right.
But if we could get back to that down here in the Southern Plains feeding region, we would see a better price for our calves.
Yeah. Well, I think, Bert, tell me if I'm right or wrong. Is the cattle quality got better in the last 20 years?
Yes, the cattle quality is really good.
Right. Yeah. And I got a comment from my wife. She said, "You're welcome. Listen to your wife more often." So anyway, we're getting let up. And then the major texts in. He said, "When things stop being voluntarily then you have to take a stand. And that's what you guys are doing.
That's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
So anyway, well, he was listening.
Yep.
I think sometimes we get in the weeds and it's hard to
get out,
boil it down into a nutshell to explain to people what's happening.
Yeah.
So that was a good
explanation. Yeah, no, that was from the major.
Yep.
And then I got somebody else saying the word that's been more popular here. I won't say that on the show today, but anyway, there's a, you know, it's just like this deal with the mandate on our FSA employees.
Right.
Yep.
Or military.
Anything under the executive branch. I work for two different counties in the FSA, and I got a good relationship with all of them. I know them all personally, and they're good people, and they're important to me with the way I run my farming operation. And I keep thinking, I thought over the weekend, you know, they got to have their first shot by this date, and they got to be fully vaccinated by this date, or they're fired. It's the bottom line. That's what that order says. You're fired. So some of them are taking early retirement, and it's not necessarily just the I'm out of time, but what's next? Are we going to have to be vaccinated to get a subsidy payment?
That's a good question.
Yeah, so anyway. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. I'm sorry that was a quick 5 minutes, but anyway, thanks for coming.
Thank you for
allowing us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
All right. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. You guys have a great day and God bless.
The biggest songs from the biggest stars.
Rick on me.
KECO, Elk City.
A turning point in a mandate fight. Lisa Brady, Fox News. A Cook County judge says the city of Chicago cannot force police officers who are union members to get a COVID vaccine, blocking enforcement of the city's mandate for police only for now. The judge granting a request for a temporary restraining order and sending the case to arbitration. Details of a new federal mandate are being finalized.
A pending federal rule would require companies with at least 100 workers to give employees paid time off to get a COVID vaccine and paid sick leave to recover from effects of the shots. The Associated Press reports the White House Budget Office has completed a review of a rule from the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, that could be released later this week. An executive order from President Biden issued in September gives federal contractors until December 8th to ensure employees are vaccinated.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Washington. The White House COVID team says kid-sized doses of the Pfizer vaccine have already started shipping, so they'll be ready as a CDC panel considers COVID shots for 5 to 11-year-olds tomorrow. The FDA granted emergency use authorization last week.
The FDA authorization was the trigger regulatorily, and that allowed for the beginning of the picking, packing, shipping process. And that started immediately within minutes of the FDA decision.
White House Response Coordinator Jeff Zients, COVID has now killed over 5 million people worldwide. A judge in Wisconsin presiding over Kyle Rittenhouse's homicide trial opens jury selection with a round of Jeopardy-like trivia, assuring potential jurors he doesn't have COVID, reaching back to the fall of the Roman Empire to emphasize the gravity of their duty. Rittenhouse is charged with shooting 3 people during a protest against police brutality in August of 2020, killing 2 of them. He has claimed self-defense. America is listening to Fox News.